Transform your life today. Welcome to Super Coach with Michael Neal.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Our topic for today is Pay It Forward. And my very special guests are going to be Catherine Ryan Hyde, who's the author of the book Pay It Forward, among 17 others, which was a major motion picture back in 2000. And also Charlie Johnson, who's the president-elect of the Pay It Forward Foundation. He's going to talk a little bit about what they're up to. We're going to do the show a little bit different today. So instead of you calling in for coaching, what I'd love you to do is if you've got a story of how an act of kindness was done unto you and you paid it forward in your life, or something was paid forward to you where somebody else shared something with you as a result of an act of kindness that happened to them. I'd love you to call in and share your story. The number's to call 866-254-1579. It's toll-free in the United States and Canada, 866-254-1579. And from outside the U.S., you can reach the show, as always, on 001-760-918-4300. And before I bring Catherine on, I wanted to just share the story of how I first came across the whole idea of paying it forward. And it was, I was a student in London back, this would have been about 1987, and I was broke, which is not unusual for a student in London or indeed anywhere else, and it was raining, also not unusual for London, but it was late at night, and I was about probably 2.5 miles from the place where I was staying, and I did not have the money for train fare, and I was just sort of standing in the train station kind of trying to gear myself up for the walk home in the rain when somebody just came up to me and handed me a train ticket. And I was totally freaked out and a little bit suspicious, to be honest. And I said to them, what's this? And they said, well, you just looked like you could use a ticket. And I said, well, I can, but I can't pay you. And he said, well, don't worry about it. You know, someday when you get the chance, pay it forward. And I'd never heard that expression before, but I thought it was such a brilliant idea. And indeed, over the next couple of years of studenthood and whenever I was in London, any chance I could, I found opportunities to supply people in who looked like they might need one with train tickets. But little did I know that there was a whole movement behind this. And that movement, at least a huge part of that movement, was started by a woman named Catherine Ryan Hyde, who's my guest. So Catherine, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me here.
So I'd love it if you would share some of your story, how you came to get involved with the whole Pay It Forward idea and write the book and
sure.
All of that.
Well, I actually didn't know I was becoming involved with the Pay It Forward idea. I had my own experience. I sat down and wrote the book. I made up the phrase, you know, in quotes, made up the phrase Pay It Forward because it's a really simple twist on paying it back.
Sure.
And didn't realize until the book was out that other people had occasionally used it in the past. But it makes total sense because it's a really simple twist on paying it back. But what happened with me is the people who helped me, they didn't say pay it forward. They just left me in a situation where I had to figure out how I could return an act of kindness like the one they'd given me. And what happened was I was in a bad neighborhood of Los Angeles in my car late at night alone, when the engine of my car caught fire. And a couple of total strangers, two men, which of course made me extremely nervous, came out of nowhere, came running, took a blanket out of their trunk, put the fire out by hand. And then in the confusion of talking to the fire department, they just kind of up and disappeared. I mean, they didn't literally. Obviously, I was preoccupied, and while I was preoccupied, they left. They didn't say pay it forward. Like I say, I had to kind of come up with that when I was writing the book. What they did was they left me wondering what you do with a favor that big if you can't pay it back. And it took quite a few years, by the way, for this to turn into a book. First, I had to turn into a serious author, and then I had to figure out how you could tackle a topic this big. But my experience with it was the same as yours in with the train ticket. When someone does that and it blows you away and it really means something to you, this is the part that I really do testify pay it forward works. I don't know if every person in the world is going to pick it up and want to do this with us, but I do know when you give someone something that life-changing, it does change them, and they really do pay it forward. They've even starting to do scientific studies on this now, which I find very exciting.
Obviously. Well, I remember when I then did come across the book, I got incredibly excited that somebody had thought about this, because it really did seem sort of random to me at the time. Huh? And I loved the just
nothing
the simple
new under the sun, as they say.
Well, I love the simple, and it's been, you know, the idea that, you know, one person pays it forward to three people, and just how quickly that makes its way around the planet.
Yeah, that was the part that I thought of as being kind of original to me. Like I said, I'd never heard anyone use the phrase pay it forward, but I knew that there was random acts of kindness, and I had heard of Oprah's, well, actually, when I wrote the book, I hadn't heard of Oprah's kindness chain, but by the time it came out, I had. And it's a little bit like Good Samaritanism in the Bible, too, so I knew it wasn't a new idea to be kind, to, you know, to offer kindness to someone, but I wanted to throw in the thing about the exponential math, because I felt like it could be almost like a pyramid scheme, but upside down.
Mm.
You know how a pyramid scheme always collapses because it needs such phenomenal numbers of people to support it that eventually it just can't be supported. But and all the benefit is supposed to flow to the one person who started it. But in this case, the person who starts it has no ulterior motive, wants nothing back. And as the numbers grow so incredibly huge, the whole thing ideally would just flourish. Plus, a few people can drop out and not, you know, everybody always says, oh, but some people won't pay it forward. Fine, the numbers are still pretty big.
Yeah, I mean, I know for me, one of the things that it really tuned me into was the whole experience of the world as a mutual support network. Because I had always sort of understood that, you know, tit for tat was the way of the world. You know,
sure.
I do something, I scratch your back, you scratch mine. And it never occurred to me that I could scratch your back and you might scratch other people's backs.
Yeah.
And then somebody I've never met might scratch my back. And I didn't have to understand the chain of causality.
One of the nicest comments I ever got on the book was somebody who was a call-in on a radio show. And he called up and said, it's changed the way I think about strangers.
Mm.
And I thought, oh, now that's a really profound comment. And, you know, I think you touched on something important when you said that thing about how you were a little bit suspicious. When somebody you don't know comes up to you out of nowhere and wants to do something for you, it sets off some little alarm bells of suspicion. And so I think one of the things that's been valuable about the Pay It Forward movement, which I don't completely credit to myself because I can't take credit for other people's kindnesses, but I think that when we start all calling at the same thing, not only do we get a sense of how big it is, but I think it helps allay people's suspicion. Because if you say, no, I'm paying it forward, then the whole, oh, okay, I understand now. You don't want anything back from me.
Yeah, and that really does. That absolutely makes a difference. And it also sidesteps, I think, one of the big issues we have in our society is this whole notion of deserving. You know, oh, I don't deserve this, I don't deserve that. And somehow the whole pay it forward note, well, we could do a whole nother show just on that.
Yeah, we could. We could.
But I do think that the whole pay it forward notion sort of sidesteps that and go, it's not about deserving it. It's just about the interconnectivity of human beings on the planet.
You know, more often than not, I think the honest answer as to why do we stop and help somebody if we don't know them and there's nothing in it for us, it's because they need us to. They just need it, and they're a person, and so are we, and we know how it feels to need something or be in trouble. I don't think there has to be a special motivation. I think I believe that we are basically good at heart, and I don't say that blindly, and I don't say it to be Pollyanna. I know in a lot of us it's buried very deeply, but I honestly believe that we come into this world caring about others. And if we walk around not acting like we're caring about others, I think that our true nature is just buried very deeply. I don't think that our true nature is bad. And that's what I believe. People can argue with me if they want, but that's what I believe. And that seems to be kind of proving out in the wake of this book.
Well, and that's sort of what I love. And in a few moments, I'm going to ask you to share a couple of stories of maybe things that have come to your attention since the book came out and the movie came out. But I also just want to go back out and say, if you've got a story of how paying it forward has been meaningful in your life, you can phone in and share your story, calling 866-254-1579. It's toll-free in the United States and Canada, 866-254-1579. Or from outside the United States, you can reach the show by dialing your country code, and then 760-918-4300. You know, Catherine, a story that occurred to me that I don't think I've ever shared on the air, but when I first went to New York years ago, I probably was 18 years old, and I was going to audition for Juilliard, and I got on the wrong bus somehow, and it was late at night, and I suddenly found myself, you know, very, very noticeably in the minority on the bus, and I was around 145th Street, and literally, you know, the bus driver turned to me and said, "You're in Harlem now, boy," and I said, "Oh, okay." And I didn't really know exactly what that meant, but I could tell sort of from the way he said it that that might be bad. And I got off the bus and I was just scared because everyone was looking at me like I should be scared. And I just started walking, and there was this very large man on the bus who got off the bus at the same stop as me and looked like he was following me. And I sped up and he sped up. And I'm just in my head going, okay, this is not good. And, you know, I was not a tough 18-year-old. You know, for me, it wasn't like, oh, boy, a fight. And he finally caught up to me at the corner of a street while I was waiting to cross. And he said, "Let me walk you out of here."
Oh, he was looking after you.
And he did. And he walked me out, and he chased a few people away who were interested in talking to me. And he walked me down to 110th Street, and he was just incredibly kind, and I thanked him. And for me, the most incredible part of that story was I phoned my mother later that evening and told her what had happened. And she had come over to America from Belgium 30 years earlier and had the exact same thing happen to her. And I just, you know, the fact that kind of kindness not only is present, but that it always has been present.
Yes, this is why I'm so careful to, I mean, I appreciate people who say that this book has inspired them, but I just want to be very clear about the fact that I think the reason for the success of this book and why so many people have embraced it is not because it's a new idea, but because it's how they've been living all along.
Now, what are some of the, because you must have come across some extraordinary stories over the years of how paying it forward has impacted people. Would you mind sharing maybe just one?
I have, and I'll share my favorite, but I got to tell you, I think the absolute resident expert on that is Charlie.
Well, okay, we're going to bring Charlie on in just a minute.
Charlie has taken the role of actually kind of, there was a time when the foundation was fairly new and I was very closely involved in running the foundation, when I used to put together Pay It Forward stories and put them on a site called the Pay It Forward Movement. But the problem is it got to be more than a full-time job. But I'll tell you what's by far and away my favorite one. The foundation, 1 year back when I was closely involved in it, decided that they were going to give a Pay It Forward award, an actual cash award, to a class of students. And we simply asked people to nominate classes of students, and they did. They nominated some great things. Well, here was the one that won, and I actually went to that school and spoke to them and presented them with a check. The kids in this class, their teacher basically just said to them, okay, here's what's happened. Who's going to step up? And I'll tell you what happened. Their school was right next door to a school for special needs kids, and there was this boy named Kenny who was Down syndrome, and they had had a fire at his house. His parents had, or his mother, had let their fire insurance lapse because they were trying so desperately to save money. The house was absolutely gutted by fire. They were just up to their ears in debt. And so the kids did a series of things. First, what they did is they stepped up and came up with all the money they had. Like, one kid brought in $250 that he was saving for an Xbox. But he said, this is more important. And when he did that, other kids started cleaning out their bank accounts and bringing in this money. Then they started raising money from other, they ended up raising something like $1,500. They started going around to local businesses and getting things like meal certificates and things like that for this family. They brought in clothes and household goods and things like that that they could spare. They ended up giving them something like, I think, 50 boxes of clothes and household goods. So when I went down there to see them, basically two more things were happening as a result of this. One of them was the class of the following year was so inspired by that that they found somebody in their community and in that same community and raised another $1,500 to help this family. The day that I was there to speak to them, this story came out in the Orange County Register in Southern California.
Sure.
And a business person, I think it was like a real estate person or something, read it. He said, I usually go straight to the sports page, but this one caught my eye. And he basically got together with all the other employees, called the school, and said, we will match that $1,500. If the kids can do it, we can do it. And the reason I love that one is because it starts with that really basic thing, like, I thought the Xbox was important, but it turns out that helping people is more important. And it ends up with the idea of spreading out and touching people that these kids had never even met. Other people saw what happened and were inspired to do more.
And I think that principle, I've seen it all the time. We used to see it on the underground in London where, you know, people would come by looking for change. And if no one would give them any change, no one would give them any change. But the second the first person would do it, everybody would follow. And it's almost
isn't
like we need permission to be kind.
I do that sometimes on the highway. You know, when something's happening, like two lanes trying to merge, and everybody's being really competitive, if I stop and wave somebody in, they stop and wave somebody in. The person behind me stops and waves somebody in.
Yeah,
it's
have
almost
you seen
like there, just remind people that they can flip that over.
There is. I can't remember which insurance company it is, but there's actually a series of commercials for an insurance company at the moment where people spot random acts of kindness and then pay it forward, and it winds up coming full circle, which is kind of cool. Let me bring Charlie on. Charlie Johnson is the president-elect of the Pay It Forward Foundation. He's the creator of the Pay It Forward bracelet and the founder of the Pay It Forward Experience, all of which I'm sure he will talk about with us. He sent out over 1 million bracelets to 72 countries in the past few years, and I'm hoping he'll let you know how you can get a bracelet. And the reason that he's on the show, and Catherine indeed is on the show, and indeed the show is happening today, is because I ran into Charlie a couple of months back, and he shared a little bit of his story and some bracelets with me. So, Charlie, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you, Michael.
Hey, so can you share a little bit about what the whole Pay It Forward bracelet idea is and how that works?
Well, you're segueing perfectly because you just said the perfect word. People need permission. They need a reminder. And I don't know why it came to me, but about 4 years ago, the idea of the bracelet popped into my head. And it's not worn as support for it. It's worn as a reminder. And with our 3,000 thoughts a day, to get someone to do something nice is almost next to impossible. My husband, my wife, my job, my boss, the billboard, the computer, the TV, the radio ads. Our minds are consumed with everything. And that reminder has sparked so many amazing stories. And with the bracelet, when you do something, you take it off and give it to that person you just did something nice to. So it creates a very amazingly simple but yet powerful ripple effect.
That's and again, Catherine said you are the king of stories. Can you maybe share one with us?
I will give you the best one, and it's still going on right now. There was a lady. We've got a Pay It Forward conference that Catherine's speaking at here October 21st to the 23rd. And there's a lady in California who is just desperate to come, but she does not have the means. She does not have the money. And someone heard about this. For some odd reason, I sent that lady some bracelets. She heard about Julie is her name. She wired enough money for Julie to come to the conference. She was ecstatic. The next day, she had a neighbor who just was laid off from his job. She knows that that man has kids. She saw that man going through a garbage can looking for cans. It was that bad. He was so low on money, he was looking to recycle cans. She looked out her window, opened the window, yelled at him and said, hold on, stay right there. She took the money that she was so desperate to need to come to Utah for the conference and gave it to that man. And then she put a video together, and she was just bawling. It was the most amazing thing. Now, here's the funny part. It's going to continue to go. A lady in Australia saw this video that we put on the PISExperience.org website. She is now not only funding Julie to come to the conference, but one of her friends. It's the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life. Completely random, completely through the website, completely just, no, these people don't know each other, and they're just simply taking care of each other. It's so, so amazing.
So you know, one of the things that that I asked at the beginning of the show, if we had anyone who could share some stories of paying it forward, we got a Mark, I think, on line one.
Mark, welcome to the show. We got a bit of an echo there. You might need to turn your radio down. Can you share a story of how the whole pay it forward idea has been meaningful in your life?
Or maybe not. Okay, we'll come back. We'll come back to line one. Charlie, and I've still got that background. I don't know if you guys have that, but hopefully they can fix that noise in the studio. What, you mentioned the PIF was it PIFexperience.org?
Yes.
Yeah. What is that site? What happens there?
That site is simply just a collection of good news. Of videos of what we're doing, with the bracelet, of what we're doing with the conference coming up in October. It's just a site where we want to show people good. Like we always tell people, we're not trying to destroy evil, because that's never going to happen. We're simply trying to make good stronger. We're trying to make it more prevalent. We're trying to make it so people will focus more on the good around them and just completely ignore the bad. So it's just a website full of videos. We keep people updated of the direction we're taking Pay It Forward and the bracelet and the conference and stuff like that.
Now, Catherine, one of the things that that I was quite intrigued by, and this is probably a question you've gotten, and if it's not a question you'd like, you can do the quick answer and we'll move forward. But I was very surprised, having read the book, when Kevin Spacey wound up playing the large African-American man
yeah,
from
you
the
and
book.
Me both, yeah. I was on the set one day. No, I don't mind talking to that. I was on the set one day, and I actually pointed out to Kevin Spacey that he was a white man. But he didn't seem particularly surprised, so I don't think that was news to him. But this is not, for those who don't know about how movies are made, this is not something that they talk about with the author in advance. I found out that they had cast Kevin Spacey on the day that it came out in Variety, that they had cast Kevin Spacey. And I mean, obviously I had mixed feelings. On the one hand, he was an actor absolutely at the top of his game. On the other hand, you know, how could he play Reuben St. Clair? But as it turns out, he really didn't play Reuben St. Clair. He played this guy named Eugene Simonette, who was entirely different. I mean, he had a different background, different personality. And I think that's too bad, because Reuben was the main character in the book, and I really hated to see him not make it into the movie.
Well, and I wondered, and I mean, it sounds like maybe this wasn't the case, but I wondered if Kevin Spacey had lobbied for it because he liked the story.
Well, it's very possible. That's entirely possible. And it's not uncommon in Hollywood for a role to be changed for a very prime actor, if they think they can get a very prime actor. I'm thinking of one, the girl in Hyacinth Blue, when they made that into a TV movie for Hallmark, they changed the man who had the painting to the woman who had the painting and cast Glenn Close in the role because they found out they could get Glenn Close. However, I think it's more of a problem when they do it with an African-American character and then turn them white and give the role to a white actor. Frankly, I don't want to make it sound like I think those two are equal.
Sure.
Because it doesn't come out quite the same. And also, you know, to be very frank, I had a lot of characters of color in the book, and the only one they left was the really sleazy gang banger, and I think that was potential.
Which is our very long way of saying, get the book. The book's
yeah.
really, really
Funny
good.
I mean, the movie's that. Not better bad. Better you should say it than me, because when I say it, it sounds very self-serving. Well, yes, of course, yeah, I think the book.
Yeah,
I'm sort of
paying it forward in my own way here.
I don't think it was a bad movie, but it was a very Hollywoodized, polished
sure.
version of what I wrote. Yeah.
Sure. We're coming up on our break. We're going to be back with Catherine Ryan-Hyde, author of Pay It Forward, and Charlie Johnson, president-elect of the Pay It Forward Foundation. If you want to get in the second half of the show, numbers to call 866-254-1579 in the United States and Canada. And we will be right back with more inspiration right after this break.
Real strategies for real change. This is Supercoach with Michael Neal.
We are back. We're talking about paying it forward. My guests are Catherine Ryan Hyde, who's the author of the book Pay It Forward, amongst 18 other published forthcoming books, and also Charlie Johnson, who's the president-elect of the Pay It Forward Foundation. And I'll get back to them in just a minute, but I put out a call earlier in the show for people who could share sort of stories about how paying it forward has been meaningful in their life, and we have Forbes on the line. Forbes, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
Great. So what can you share with us? Well, how has the whole pay it forward idea been meaningful for you?
Well, you know, before I knew about pay it forward, just I was doing it without knowing what it was. And I listened to your program, I thought of a couple things that I'd done that I just thought were fun. And those have been going on for my life. But then I ran into Charlie Johnson later, so then it became real to me. But one story, I can remember going to Sam's Club, and I was returning something, and the gal at the counter, when I went up to return my product, she just looked like she had an enormous cloud over her head. It was like my product didn't really matter. My return of my product didn't matter so much. She just looked like she was in horrible pain. So I simply said, "Are you okay?" And she said, "Yeah, I'm okay. We've just come here from Michigan. My husband's underemployed, and I'm working here, and we could just use better employment." And I didn't know her from anyone, but I do know a few people. And I said, what would your husband like to do? And she told me, I said, give me your husband's phone number and let me call him. So she gave me the number, and I called right from the store and told him that I'd just met his wife. I didn't know his wife, and I knew they were new from Michigan. And then I called another person that I knew who had jobs. And so I just put the two together. And it was incredible. And I didn't say, hey, pay it forward. It was just a great thing to do. And then the person that I introduced him to called me back up and hired him. So I have experiences like that. Then I can remember prior to meeting Charlie, I was driving in Phoenix. It was really hot. And I see this African-American man at the bus stop. And I'm delivering a birthday gift. And I think, I hope he's there when I come back, because I would like to go give him a ride. So I drop off the gift. I come back. He's still at the bus stop. And I pull up behind the bus stop, and I said, you want to take the bus or you want to hop in my limo? And he laughs. He gets in the front seat. I ask him where he's going. He says he's going to Walmart, which is about 60 blocks away, going the other direction. And I just got to listen to this guy tell me about his life, tell me about how he grew up, tell me about how his sister got a master's degree. I asked him if he liked to read. He told me he liked to read. I often carry books from authors in my car, so I committed him to read one of them. Gave him the book and dropped him off at the Walmart and got in my car and drove back the other way. I didn't say, you know, pay it forward. And then fast forward to several of those experiences, and I get it. I don't remember how I met Charlie, but he shows up one day at my house, and I visit with him for some time, and he just shares his idea, and I think it's amazing.
And I think that's beautiful. And I think what it really speaks to is the possibility of pay it forward as a lifestyle more than just an act.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Thank you, Forbes. Thank you very much for sharing.
You are so welcome.
All right. Let me bring Catherine and Charlie back on the line. Actually, we may have just lost Charlie, but hopefully he'll be back with us in a moment. Catherine, have you found that there are people for whom this becomes more than just sort of a random act of kindness and becomes sort of almost a way of being in the world?
Oh, absolutely. I would say most people. I'd say more often than not. You know, that's kind of my little funny secret underneath all this. I mean, the reason that I wrote the book, so basically you just have to do something nice for three people and then you've done your part, is because before people get started, they're kind of overwhelmed by the idea of a lifestyle of giving.
Mm.
But the funny thing is once they start doing it, they don't stop. Usually don't stop. And I'm always careful to tell people there's no such thing as the pay it forward police. You know, nobody's going to come knock on your door at night and go, you know, ma'am, I think that was four. I mean, really, if you want to keep going, you can keep going. I love the story that he told about getting the job for the guy, because it reminded me of Bob Littell, who is the president that Charlie's about to take over from of the Pay It Forward Foundation. And he has a thing called net weaving that I've given him my permission to call it the business version of Pay It Forward. That's basically nothing but taking people who could help each other and introducing them. And then you just ask them to do that as their life goes on. It's just putting people together, matching a need with a, you know, with an opportunity.
Well, I just love that it's a way of sort of making a little bit more visible what I talk about sometimes is the invisible web of 6 billion people. You know, we think we're so on our own here, and it does feel that way sometimes.
We feel so isolated from everybody else, and the truth of the matter is that our fates are quite intertwined.
Charlie, can you tell us a little bit more about the Pay It Forward Foundation? Because that's something that is an intriguing idea that there is actually a place to go to, a destination.
Well, to be honest with you, Catherine, do you want to take that one? That you are much better versed on.
Okay,
that than
I could feel. I can feel the thing about the Pay It Forward Foundation. It started right around the same year as the book and the movie, which was 2000. And it actually started with the help of one of the people involved in one of the production companies of the movie, but he has made it really clear that he doesn't necessarily want or need any credit. But he came to me and said there should be a foundation. And I said, yeah, I've thought of that, but then we looked into how complicated it is to create a legal foundation. And he kind of laughed, and like two weeks later, because when you're a movie person, basically your office is nothing but a sea of attorneys.
Mm-hmm.
So within, you know, 10 days or 2 weeks, we had a 501c3. And at that point, everyone came back to me and said, okay, what do you want to do here? What's the focus of this thing? So we decided that the focus would be on children approximately Trevor's age. Now, that's a big approximately. We actually don't care if they're kindergarten or college. But we like the idea of catching kids at that wonderful moment in their life when they're old enough to know that they're powerful, that what they do can make a difference in the world, but not really all that jaded yet.
Mm.
Basically, what the foundation does is it takes the Pay It Forward idea into classrooms. In a sense, the way it happened fictionally in the book, where Reuben St. Clair says, think of an idea for world change and put it into action. Well, we help teachers, we help educators bring the idea into the classroom to get kids thinking about how they want to change the world. And then there's a second tier of service that the foundation performs when we are able. I'm sure you know it's kind of a tough time for nonprofit foundations when the economy is rough. Mm. But when we can afford to do it, we have a mini grant or a seed grant program where these classes of kids can come to us and apply for a small grant, a small amount of money. We capped it about $500 because this is more about ideas than it is about cash.
Sure.
To actually do what they need, you know, transportation, supplies, whatever, to put their idea into action. But we purposely structured it that way, the first tier of service being what we call a self-service website that basically just gives educators all the materials they need for free. Excerpts of the book, actual teaching materials, lesson plans.
And is that website the pifexperience.org, or is there a separate website?
That's Charlie's, that where Charlie is doing this, kind of chronicling the movement the way I used to do with the Pay It Forward movement site. No, the foundation is payitforwardfoundation.org.
Payitforwardfoundation.org.
It's a lot of typing, but it's easy to remember. And that's the actual educational foundation that reaches out to kids, because we have this kind of, I mean, to allow myself to be a little bit grandiose just for a minute, which I'm usually not, we have this idea that potentially there could be such a thing as a world where the whole generation that moves into the workforce, into the government, into raising their own children, has been exposed to the idea of selfless giving as part of their education, knows how it feels. You know, like that thing you were talking about where you have this assignment and you're just going to do this one thing, but then you find out how good it feels.
I think that's the surprise, because I know growing up, you know, I was taught to give. And so consequently, like most things I was taught, I didn't want to.
Yes, exactly. It became homework.
And it was sort of a shock to me that it's really, really fun. One of my favorite birthdays ever. my wife and I went to Universal Studios, and we just went and had fun. And on the way out, we stopped on City Walk, and there was a place there at the time called the Zen Zone, and they had a chart up on the board for operations for children back in Thailand who with cleft palate and various other ailments, and they'd done it really nicely where sort of each dollar you gave filled in a square towards the operation, and we just I don't know what came over us, but we just walked up to them and said,
but it was good, whatever,
you know,
it
was good, and said, you know, how much? And they said a dollar, and we said no, for the whole operation, and we paid for the operation, and then we got a bunch of kids that were just milling around, and there were a couple of teens and younger kids, and we had them come and color in the squares.
Oh, that's nice.
And get involved, and we still look back on this as one of the absolute best birthdays we've spent together in 24 years.
Yeah.
And it was just that spontaneous, that surprise of being caught up in the spontaneous joy of being able to support somebody and actually doing it.
Yeah, and how it feels. We forget sometimes how it feels. This is why this is a really important element, by the way, of the Pay It Forward Foundation, is that it not be done as homework. We really encourage a situation where you go to the kids and say, kids, look around at your world. What do you want to change about it? The last thing we want, you know, we want to hear from them. We want their eyes on the world to say, because they'll look at the world and go, you know what, that's wrong, that shouldn't be that way. And an adult will go, yeah, I know, but, you know, it is, and how can you change it? That's not good enough for them. They're like, no, that's wrong. We want to change that. We never want to create a situation where a teacher comes up with an idea of how we're going to give and assigns it to the student. Because Pay It Forward is not supposed to be homework. It's supposed to be about looking at the world with new eyes, because you might take on trying to do something toward one of these problems if you feel inspired to.
Now I'm not as cynical as I probably should be to host a show like this. You know, I'm supposed to provide the contrast for every man. But if I were, then the question that would come to me to ask is why is it that this? Why do we need a foundation? Why do we need a movement? Why isn't this just the way that people treat one another?
Darn good question. That is actually the question that I had in my mind when I wrote the book. Because almost any time I write a novel, it's because there's this question about human nature that I just cannot get to the bottom of. And it's got to be quite a complex question to get me, you know, 300-plus pages. And I don't write the book to answer the question because it's generally an unanswerable question. But the question that I was attempting to explore in Pay It Forward is, you know, we all say we want a kinder world, and we all know that there's some room for improvement in how we treat each other, to put it mildly. And it's very easy to treat each other better. It might not be easy to change the whole world from what it is now to perfect, but it's really easy to wake up in the morning and say, you know what, I'm going to do more for people today. It doesn't hurt. It doesn't cost. So my
question
is, as we said, it actually feels good. Yeah, so if this is what we all want, and it's easy enough to do, how come we don't just do it? It's a very multi-layered question, and I don't know. Here's what I do know. The more people jump on a moving bandwagon and start doing it, the more people jump on that bandwagon.
Sure, and that makes sense. And that leads me to a question for you, Charlie. Where do you see this going? Because it sounds like you're a man with a vision. And I know when we talked, one of the reasons that I was excited about bringing you on the show was because even without knowing where you were headed, I could see you were headed somewhere. So what is the future of this?
Okay, I hope you're ready, and I hope the listeners are ready, because this is that one thing that all 6.9 billion people can be a part of. Whether you have money, whether you live off $2 a day in India, you can hold a door open for someone, you can smile at someone, you can catch eye contact with someone, you can view people in a different way, you can make them happier that day, you can make it so they treat their husband, their wife, their kids, their dog better when they go home. They can view their neighbors in a different way. The one thing I think the movement was missing was that something physical. people need to latch on to something. They need to be able to touch something. They need to be able to have that reminder. And that's where I think the bracelet comes in. That's where I think the momentum is kicking in. That's where I think, due to the popularity of what Catherine has done and the bracelet, that's why we're putting together the world's first ever Pay It Forward event in Utah in October. Where I see it going is I see it becoming one of the biggest things the world has ever known. And I know that's grandiose, and I know that's unrealistic, but to me, unrealistic people move this world forward. And we have very, very big plans for this. It's pure. It's unattached to any religion. It's unattached to any political side. It's just that really pure thing that, like Catherine says, and I believe the same, to our core, no matter who that person is, they are good. And they've just been brought up around maybe negative people or they've had a bad experience. But as soon as that random person comes up to them and does something out of the goodness of their heart and then just walks off and tells them to pay it forward, I promise you, it will shift. It will shift their entire life from that day forth. And in this world of 3,000 thoughts a day, all we need is one more thought a day to be in a better direction, to be in a good direction. Now imagine hundreds of millions of people thinking one different thought a day. It's good. Now imagine two. Now imagine four, eight. Now imagine billions of people viewing every person they cross paths with in a different way. Imagine them having something good happen to them today, and then tomorrow when they're on their way to work and someone cuts them off, instead of speeding up, honking their horn, flipping that person off and ruining both their days, imagine them just easing off and saying, well, that person's just going to work to try to feed their family just like me. He didn't mean to do that. Just those simple little things. Now, listen, I don't know how many more times we can repackage a self-help book. But it can't be a 5 or 10 step process for people. If we truly want to change people at their core, it needs to be the simple, simplest little thing. It needs to come from someone random. It needs to come from a family member. It needs to come when it's not expected. It needs to just change how they view the people around them. And it's got to be as simple as possible. And holding a door open, making someone smile, doing something nice, that's where it begins. We've got to get people at the foundation level to get them to change. We've got to get them at their core to believe that the strangers around them are not out to get them. They're just trying to do exactly what they're doing, and that's live their life, support their family, and do good things.
So do you have a philosophy, and this may be a question for both of you because you might not have the same answers, but do you have a philosophy around the fact that, you know, sometimes those strangers are up to no good?
Well, my philosophy is only this. I just tell people, choose ones that fit your personal comfort level in your gut at that moment. You know, if you are small of stature and a young woman, I'm not saying stop and help somebody in the middle of the night by the side of the road. If your gut says don't do it, don't do it. And I don't. The other thing is, some people don't really feel comfortable helping strangers. In which case, I say fine, don't help a stranger. Help that neighbor who you barely know and never really talk to. Co-workers are fabulous because you know your co-workers. You know which ones that you have a good safety level with. But generally, you have this kind of unwritten deal, like we do just this much for each other but no more. And you can just extend that deal at any moment. So, yes, there are situations where potentially someone might not feel safe paying it forward, in which case I say, well, that's not the one for you then. Go for the one that you just know in your heart, no, this is good and this, you know, and I'm safe here.
Sure. Sure, that makes a lot of sense. Charlie, you mentioned a conference. Can you tell us a little bit about what that? What is that?
It's the first ever Pay It Forward conference. I think what we're doing now is we're giving this movement direction. We're giving this something people can really latch on to. It's in Utah. It's October 21st and 22nd and 23rd. If you go to PIFExperience.org, you can register there. You can check everything out. If you can't join us physically, we're also going to have an online webinar option. So if you're anywhere in the world, if you're at home, work, school, church, just hanging out, and you want to join us, you can check us out live via the webinar option. And Catherine will be speaking Friday, October 21st. We have little Hannah Taylor, who is 15 years old, And at 8 years old, she started the Ladybug Foundation and has already raised millions of dollars for homeless in Canada. She's on Saturday, the 22nd. We've got Ryan Neese. He's a former Super Bowl, NFL Super Bowl champ. We've got Bob Littell, who's the president right now with his net weaving. We have Adrian Schmidt, who was with the Karma Experiment. It's just the first time that we want to bring all these pay-it-forward-minded people together, and we want to see what happens. And I'm assuming, and I bet Catherine would agree with me, it's going to be a one powerful event, and it's at one amazing resort up in the mountains in Utah. It's just something. It's something I believe people do not want to miss. And believe me, I come from a business background. Even in my own business, I couldn't sell our products. I wanted to know who people were. I have no shame when it comes to pay for it. This is an event they do not want to miss.
And that people want to find out more how to get involved, PIFExperience.org?
PIFExperience.org. And there's one more thing I want to say. There's a lot of people out there who don't have the means but have the time to come. But there's a lot of people out there that have the means but don't have the time. We actually created an option called the PIF Pass for the conference. If you have money and you want to send someone in your place, go ahead and purchase the PIF Pass, and we will find those people across the world who don't have the money but desperately want to come, and we'll make sure they get taken care of. We've actually had two people take us up on that offer, and it's the best feeling in the world for these people. So cool.
I think that's not only fantastic, but I mean, it seems to me to be the very essence of what you guys are up to. Just in the last few minutes that we've got, I wonder if each of you could just briefly share for you personally what the impact of the whole pay it forward idea has been. Charlie, can you start us off? Just, yeah, I know it's difficult to kind of sum it up, but
I'll sum it up very easy, because Catherine always downplays her book and her movie. I can tell you right now, I was 20 years old. I was very cynical. I hated the world. I hated my parents. I hated my job. Everyone was wrong but me. There's a scene in that movie that changed me. Split second. Thankfully, she had this stuff she went through. Thankfully, she wrote the book. Thankfully, the movie was made. And we're sitting here talking to you today. It's just, I left my corporate job. I left the business that I had owned for 15 years behind, because I truly believe the world needs this right now. We're in one of the most unique times the world's ever seen, and I believe Pay It Forward, at its core, is going to change the world like no one's ever thought possible. And I thank Catherine for what she's done, because she's put me where I am right now.
Okay, Catherine, this is radio, so no one's going to see you blush, but what about for you?
Yeah, really? Wow. You know, I had some thoughts of what I was going to say, and Charlie just knocked them right out of my head with all that. Well, you know, I really appreciate it any time somebody says that the book inspired them. And the point that I just really want to make is that I can only inspire inspired people. I mean, there are uninspired people who will open up the book or see the movie, and when they're done, they remain unchanged. So, you know, my message to people who take inspiration from this is I really think that you brought your own inspiration to the party. I think the only way I can really sort of sum up what's happening in the Pay It Forward movement is that I think somebody just needed to define what it is we're all craving. I agree with Charlie. I think, I mean, I love the digital revolution, and I love the internet, and I think we've gained a lot from it, but I think we have to be careful to make up what we've lost. I think what we're really missing is that sense of connectedness, and that sense that we can be on each other's side and other people will be there for us if we have a need. I mean, when it comes right down to it, what is more important than human relationships? And by that, I don't mean spouses. I mean just the way we connect with each other every day. And that's what makes the difference between whether life feels worthwhile or whether we wonder what the whole thing is.
And we've got to finish on that note. My guests today have been Catherine Ryan Hyde, author of Pay It Forward, Charlie Johnson, president-elect of the Pay It Forward Foundation. You can learn more at payitforwardfoundation.org and pifexperience.org. Thanks very much, guys. We will be back with a brand new show next week. Until then, have fun, learn heaps, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye for now.